Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 5, day 4 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel 5, 18 through 24. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at the continuation of chapter 5, where Daniel is really going to double down on how he kind of sticks it to King Belshazzar of Babylon. Before we get into that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? God, speak to us. We want to encounter you. We want to know you. We want your presence to dwell within us, invade our lives. God, we want to be like Daniel, that the spirit, that other people would look at us and they would say, the spirit of the gods is in that person. And we can know that it's the spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit is in us, God. Fill our hearts with who you are. Come and dwell in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Daniel 5:18. Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the nations and peoples of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from the people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like the ox. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms of the earth and sets over them anyone he wishes. So, I've said this many times before, but when a story is repeated so clearly, so almost word for word in the Bible, we need to perk up our ears and really listen. When you think about all of the words that God could say, and then you think about the Bible, yes, it's a long book, but in comparison to what God could say, the one who spoke with a breath all of the universe into being, this is a very short book in comparison. So there are no wasted words in the Bible, period. So we're having the story reiterated for us. Daniel's telling the story to Belshazzar, telling him, hey, you knew all this happened. He's about to tell him that you knew all this happened. But we're having this story reiterated for us. And I think that's a good time to always to pause and consider what's being said here. God can humble the most high and lofty individual. And I think it's important to understand what the issue at hand is here. And I think it's especially important given in light of the direction our culture has headed, where it's at now and where it's heading still. Nebuchadnezzar did not fear God. He had no fear of God. I mean, on several occasions, you know, he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego right before he throws them into the fiery furnace. He's like, I'm going to do this. I've done it before. Like, I kill people. Daniel's saying here is like, he killed who he wanted to kill. Like, he had all power and authority. And Nebuchadnezzar knew that. And before he throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, he tells them, then what God can save you from my hand? The arrogance there. And what it came down to was he did not fear God. This is something that's over and over in Scripture. We've already talked about it in this book. I talk about it in our study of the book of Romans and Revelation. The fear of God is a very important part of who we are. And we're not talking about, you know, the fear of the Lord as if it's some kind of like holy reverence. We're not saying, well, we really honor you, Lord, and we call that fear. That's not fear. When you say, you know, the fear of the Lord, when you redefine it as something other than actually being terrified of him, you've done disservice to God's word, because the word means fear. And what we're talking about is fear. And to properly understand that is going to the place where we understand that God is the one who makes the eternal decision over our lives. We're going to stand before him as judge of all eternity. And he's got one of two places for us to end up. One is really good and one is really bad. We've got a heaven or hell to inherit. And understanding that he's the one that makes that decision, not us, not Satan, not anybody else, it's him. That's huge. That is a terrifying thing. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus said it like this. He said, don't fear the one who can destroy the body, who can kill you. Fear the one who can throw your body and soul into hell, meaning God, meaning him. That decision rests with him. In fact, Paul tells us in the New Testament, we find out that Jesus is actually the one. It's not God the Father. Somehow, and again, the way the Trinity works is one of those things it's above my pay grade. But however this works, it's actually the Lord says, I'm giving Jesus the authority because he earned it, because he laid his life down for these people. He's the one who spilled his blood to redeem these people. And so he's the one in that day that's actually going to be the judge over every person's soul. And so when he says, fear the one who can throw your body and soul into hell, he's talking about himself. And he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, fear him. The Pharisees did not fear Jesus. They hated him. And Jesus is like, you don't understand how bad it is for you right now. You should be afraid of me. That's the kind of fear that Nebuchadnezzar needed. And Nebuchadnezzar learned it. The Lord was actually gracious to Nebuchadnezzar because he taught him that fear through this experience where he humbled him in chapter 4. The good thing about the fear of the Lord is when we're afraid of the Lord, it has the effect of making us kind of want to straighten up and fly right. The problem is we're so prone as humans to wander and fall away that we're still not even any good at that. When we fear him and we follow after him, we're still not really any better at not sinning. But the amazing thing is when we fear him and we come to him, we acknowledge our sin. That fear causes us to come to God in an attitude of repentance. And we cannot inherit eternal life. We cannot receive the free gift of God's grace through Jesus' shed blood without repentance, without us acknowledging we are sinners and we understand the fate that we deserve. Will you forgive me and wash away my sins? For all eternity, the greatest mystery we will ever encounter or experience is the fact that God forgave our sins. In 100 billion years, we will be in the presence of God, and I think we will be no less amazed by the fact that he forgave our sins, and we didn't deserve it. Our culture today has lost the fear of God. And what that looks like is a gospel message in churches that says, Jesus loves you just the way you are. You're a gem. You're a jewel. You're one of God's children, and he loves you the way you are. And he's forgiven your sins. He's cool with you. And so people think, okay, well, God loves me. And it ends up causing them to say, I can do whatever I want. I can behave however I want, and it doesn't matter because God loves me. I'm cool with him. He likes me. And nothing could be further from the truth. God does like us. He really likes us under certain criteria. He really likes us when we say yes to his son, Jesus. But the Bible makes it very clear that if we have not said yes to his son, It doesn't call us his children. It calls us his enemies. It says, before we put our faith in Jesus, we were his enemies. So the fear of the Lord, the thing that Belshazzar here does not have, nor does it look like he wants, that's the problem. And Daniel sees right through him. And Daniel says as much. And again, I'm amazed by this because this is Daniel's neck on the chopping block here. Like, we have all of this, we have this ethic nowadays of speaking truth to power, but people who spoke truth to power lost their heads. They got thrown into the fiery furnace at this time period. You know, before these kings who had all authority to kill or spare whatever, people did not speak truth to power. So this is amazing. Continuing on verse 22, but you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself. Though you knew all of this, you knew the story about Nebuchadnezzar being humbled. You knew that story and you didn't humble yourself. Verse 23, instead, you've set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You have the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. You praise the gods of silver and gold and bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hands your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. We're going to pause there. We'll get to the inscription at the end of this chapter, tomorrow's broadcast. But for now, going back to this, Daniel is reiterating this point. It's that fear of God that brings us to humility. Nebuchadnezzar learned the fear of God because God forced him into this position of humility. He made him go insane. And then when Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God, he restored his sanity and his kingdom. I mean, that right there is no less supernatural, you know, than God being able to make him go insane in the first place. I mean, think about that. Like, you've got this great king who goes insane, and then somehow, after he's lost his sanity, regains it, he gets his kingdom back. I mean, if we had a president that went completely insane, at some point, years down the line, when he becomes sane again, after he's been like walking around with long hair, naked, and like growing his nails out, and he's like, hey, I'm better now. Oh, well, you can be president. We're not going to do that. There's no way we're going to do that. Nobody in their right minds does. They don't do what they did for Nebuchadnezzar. But it's a supernatural thing because the Lord was behind all of this. And he taught Nebuchadnezzar this fear of God and this humility, realizing, oh my gosh, like I thought so much of myself, but really every king from the highest position to the lowliest place, we draw the same breath given by God. And God can cut that off anytime he wants. That's a terrifying thought. The beautiful thing is for those of us that do enter into the fear of the Lord, and I encourage you to enter into the fear of the Lord, we actually learn that he's good. Before we enter into the fear of the Lord, we think that God is bad. We think he's unjust. We think he doesn't have the right to judge us. We come up with reasons why he isn't who he says he is, or he can't do what he says he can do. And here Daniel says Belshazzar has set himself against God. He is the enemy of God. The same language the New Testament uses to describe us before we accept Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus before, you are currently an enemy of God. You're not his precious one. You're not his child. If you have not repented of your sins, if you've not come to him in fear and trembling and humility and repented, said, I want to follow you. You don't get to say, I want you to save me from hell, but I want to keep doing the stuff I want to do. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to bargain with him. It absolutely doesn't work that way. The only way we can approach God is in fear and in humility. And when we do that, we find out how good he is. All of the problems we saw with God before. He's not good. He's this, he's that, he's angry, he's mean. All of those things fall away when we come to him in humility. We realize actually how good he is, how kind he is, how amazing he is. The blessings he wants to pour out on us are mind-blowing. But we inherit none of that if we don't come to him in fear and trembling and repentance. It's the only way. That's very countercultural for American Western Christianity, but that is the only way to God. If you have never given your heart, we just prayed this prayer last week, but I want to do it again. If you're just joining us now, or if the Lord's been stirring on your heart and you've never repented before the Lord and given your heart to him, I want you to pray this with me right now. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know that you are the one and the only one who holds my eternity in your hands. So Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? I turn away from my former way of life and I want to follow you to the best of my ability. Would you give me grace to follow you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you, Jesus, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time, I want you to reach out to me. All of my contact information are in the show notes in the description. Please reach out to me. I want to hear from you. I want to help be a resource to you to find out how to grow further, more than just through this podcast, but to grow further in your local area, wherever you are. I want to help you find a church if you're not going. I want to help be a resource to you any way possible. I want to hear from you that you've given your heart to Jesus. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. And I can't wait to see you next time.